Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening once again to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Got a hot one for you tonight. It might be a short broadcast as far as me talking is concerned, but you'll have some good music for the balance, because I don't want to overload you. Remember, I'm trying to educate you, not confuse you, not baffle you, not overload you, not get the response that we normally get, which is, don't confuse me with facts. I already know what I believe. Make sure you have pen and paper by your side. If you don't, go get it now. I'm going to give you time because I'm going to play a little music. You've got to have pen and paper by your side. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm going to give you some references. I'm going to absolutely knock your socks off. I'm going to expose one of the great lies about the Internal Revenue Service. And not only am I going to expose it, I'm going to prove it to you. And proof that's irrefutable. Proof that you can obtain yourself. So if you know somebody that should hear this, you better get them on the phone right now. And they don't have to have a shortwave radio. You can listen to The Hour of the Time on our website, williamcooper.com. You have to purchase some credits. They're really cheap, folks. Really, really inexpensive to listen to The Hour of the Time on the Internet. We've made it so cheap, nobody in the world can bitch about it unless you're a dyed-in-the-wool Marxist, socialist, communist, puke-faced pig. And if you're one of those, I don't want to hear it. And you don't want me to hear it either, because what I'm going to come back with is going to make you slink away like the dirty dog that you are with your tail between your legs. Okay? Everybody who doesn't have a shortwave radio, in fact, everybody in this country should be listening to The Hour of the Time. It's the last place on earth where you're going to hear free speech, where you're going to hear the truth, and it's going to be documented and sourced. And between now and April the 15th, all you're going to hear is an expose of the criminal, treasonous Internal Revenue Service. And by extension, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Because they're both one and the same organization, folks, whether you know it or not. In the law, it's the same organization. Okay? So, here comes some music. I'm going to give you plenty of time to get your pen and paper. And I'm going to talk slow tonight so you don't miss what I'm telling you. Okay? I want you to come away from tonight's broadcast with your chin hanging down on your chest and going, wow, man, that was some heavy stuff. And that's exactly what you're going to do. So, hey, guys. Ah, boy, this is another one of those classic Hour of the Time broadcasts. And if you're listening, you're one of the lucky ones, because everybody else in the world is going to wish they had been. Or at least everybody who thinks they're subject to the criminal, unconstitutional, unlawful, illegal Internal Revenue Service. And who every year dutifully file and pay their income tax, even though to do so is a violation of their Fifth Amendment rights. And there is no law that's ever been passed by Congress at any time, anywhere, that makes them subject to do it. So... get ready, gang. Here it comes, just for you. Pen and paper. Don't sit there with that stupid look on your face. Get up. Go get your pen and paper. If you don't, you're going to be calling me tomorrow saying, oh, I didn't have a pen and paper, and I didn't write that down, what you gave me, and I wish I had. So get up off your lazy butt and go get pen and paper right now. Get ready. My name is William Cooper, folks. According to William Jefferson Clinton, the most dangerous radio host in America. And in a few minutes, you're going to know why. I am somebody. And I'm free. I may be the only free man left in America. Don't you want to be free too? Ladies and gentlemen, years ago, and I mean years ago, I was the first one in this nation to stand up and tell you that the Internal Revenue Service, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Secret Service are not agencies of the United States government. I said that. Now listen to me once again. I was the first person, the first man, the first anybody, man or woman, dog, cat, elephant, I don't care. I was the first who did the research in the law and stood up and told everybody in this nation that the Internal Revenue Service, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Secret Service are not agencies of the United States government. Guess what happened? People called me a liar. People said I was crazy. They said, whoop. There's one more thing that discredits Cooper. Don't listen to anything he says. He's not a valid source of information. Remember that? Because I'll tell you right now, many of you listening to this broadcast tonight were among those who said those things about me. You've said it about me over and over and over and over and over again, and every single time you've done it, you've turned out to be wrong. Every single time. Not once have you ever been right. So once again, what's this? About the 4,000th time, you all owe me an apology. You see, I did my research. I don't make statements on this broadcast without telling you. I tell you the truth. I may make a mistake once in a while, but I don't ever intentionally lie to you. And I don't hang on to a mistake like my ego or the world depends on it, because it doesn't. I'm only interested in the truth, and so should you be. Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said that. He said that. I listened to what he said, and I absolutely refuse to be a part of a lie, listen to a lie, be a friend to anybody who lives a lie or perpetrates a lie or passes a lie. And that's caused me to have a lot of enemies, but that's okay, because I have a great friend. I have a great friend. His name is Jesus. Okay? He's very happy with the fact that I'm trying to do what he told me to do. Years and years ago, when I first started looking into what's happening to us, I knew there had to be some reason that all of this is going on. And I knew that none of it could be found in the Constitution for the United States of America. In fact, it's all unconstitutional. It's foreign to the Constitution. It is, in fact, repugnant to the Constitution. It is, in fact, treasonous. And every time that I got into the research, I came up against two walls. One was the Civil War, And a lot of the things that the United States government did during and immediately following the Civil War in order to subjugate the rebel states, and in so doing, subjugated the states that were a part of the Union that was fighting against the South. And I'm not drawing any conclusions about who was right or wrong in the war between the states. I'm telling you that that was the first place I came up against obstacles where I understood clearly that things were happening then that were treasonous and that were repugnant to the Constitution. War be damned. You see, the Constitution doesn't give the president any powers during wartime other than the suspension of habeas corpus, period. Period. He can't suspend the courts. He can't suspend the law. He can't suspend the Constitution. Only thing that he can suspend, according to the Constitution, is the writ of habeas corpus. And only so long as an emergency exists. So all these things that were done in the name of expediency because of a national emergency, because of the Civil War, because of wartime, because of World War I, because of World War II, because of the terrorist threat, whatever it happened to be, if they exceed the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, it is unconstitutional and unlawful. Now, a lot of these things occurred. A lot of them occurred during the Civil War. A lot of them were remedied after the Civil War. Some of them were not. One of the things that was unconstitutional that was implemented during the Civil War, and the IRS quotes now as their legality for existing, was that there was a Bureau of Internal Revenue formed during the Civil War to levy an income tax. An income tax that the United States Supreme Court later in the 1890s ruled was unconstitutional, as everybody knew it had to be eventually anyway. So when the IRS tells you that and gives that as their history, if you know the law and you can bring out that Supreme Court ruling, you can say, guess what, bud? You can't stand on that. Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional. Hey. A lot of other things occurred. But the most heinous was in 1910, the creation of the Federal Reserve System, and then in 1933, the Emergency Banking Act, whereby the United States secretly declared bankruptcy and reformed the government under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who pledged as collateral for the bankruptcy of the United States of America all of the resources of the United States of America, including its human resources. And that's the first time that the government required a birth certificate issued to every child that was born thereafter. When you filled out that birth certificate and sent it in, they sent it back to you. And you had to accept it and send it back to them. When you did that, you entered into a contract pledging your children as a corporate entity against the debt of the United States of America toward a future date when there would be no money and all instruments of credit, all tendered payment, would be nothing more than money loaned. A Federal Reserve note is exactly what it says. It's a note. It's not money. It has nothing backing it. Nothing of value changes hands. You are paying for what you purchase with a promissory note, a promise to pay. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve. And so does anything that you purchase with it. It says legal tender. It doesn't say it must be accepted for all debts, as the old money used to do, that really was money backed by gold and silver coin. Now, I know you don't understand all this, and I'm giving you a quick historical background so that you have some inkling of what I'm talking about when I go a little step further. When they did away with real money, ladies and gentlemen, the entire economy of the nation became based upon debt. No dollar enters circulation ever that was not borrowed into circulation. No payment is made with any so-called Federal Reserve note because nothing of value is tendered in payment, and therefore payment is never made. But it is legal tender. And here's how that works. This is how the Federal Reserve steals all the property in this nation every day. You go to purchase something. They say it's going to cost you so many dollars, but dollars do not exist because in the law, dollars are defined as a certain weight and purity of silver coin. Since gold also has value, gold can be denominated in dollars if it has a value equal to that many dollars in silver coin. Since there is no more gold or silver coin, and since a Federal Reserve note masquerading as a dollar has no value whatsoever and was loaned into circulation, cannot be redeemed for anything, it is now called legal tender and not money. In other words, you can tender it in payment of debt. It does not have to be accepted if somebody understands what money really is. But Americans have been so dumbed down, they have no conception. So when it's accepted, when it's tendered as payment for an item, you take possession of the item in lieu of the true owner, which is the person who owns the note and who has promised to pay, and you pay some kind of a fee every year or every month in the form of taxes or registration in order to be able to use that property. And the minute you stop paying those fees, property tax, register your automobile, the minute you stop doing those things, guess what? You cannot drive it. You cannot have it. If it's property, the sheriff will show up on your door sooner or later with a writ to repossess the property, evict you, and they will sell the property at auction. And you won't get a penny. Even if your taxes are only $100, they'll sell the property for $100. And even though you have already paid $100,000 for that property, you will not get a penny. Even if they sell it for $100,000. Why? Because you don't own it. You never did. You never paid for it in real money. Now, how do they con you into becoming, ladies and gentlemen, collateral for the national debt? Well, your parents did it. They were defrauded, but they did it. When they sign that birth certificate and send it in, they have entered into a contract making you a human resource pledged against the debt. And you become on the rolls of the Department of the Treasury, an artificial corporation. Okay? It's that artificial corporation that they're taxing, not you. But it makes no difference. You see, the United States government, the constitutional United States government, cannot do any of this. An artificial entity, which you become subject to by all of these various contracts you enter into. Another one is when you go and open a bank account and sign the signature card. You are entering into an adhesion contract, the terms of which you know nothing about. But you become subject to this statutory government who has expanded its jurisdiction unconstitutionally and unlawfully over the people through fraud, through contracts that you know absolutely nothing about, and under the law cannot be binding if they are entered into through fraud. You are required to do all of these things. Now, because of this, I know that the Internal Revenue Service cannot possibly be an agency of the United States government. Neither can the BATF, because the BATF was ruled unconstitutional It used to be the old Alcohol Administration was ruled unconstitutional. And so they moved part and parcel to Puerto Rico. The Internal Revenue Service, which used to be the Bureau of Internal Revenue, is actually a trust fund administered by the Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico. If you look in the Internal Revenue Code, the only definition for Secretary of the Treasury in the entire code is, and I quote, Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico. Now, I did some research and I found that trust fund. I found out a lot of other things, too. I found out that all trust funds must be in the law, must be listed in the United States Code. In the United States Code, there is no Social Security Trust Fund. There is no Social Security Trust Fund anywhere. Never was, never will be. Social Security, if you read the law, is a tax. And every dollar collected for Social Security is not an insurance premium, but a tax which goes into the general fund. The United States government does not have to pay anybody any benefits under Social Security. And believe me, they're not afraid of the elderly. Most of them can't carry a gun. They just do it. And they do it because it's a great source of money. And they can spend that money anytime they want. It's already so much in debt, it's pathetic. And if anybody gets a Social Security payment, you know, past a certain number of years, it's going to be a miracle. That's why your taxes have to increase. Now, you don't believe me, I know that. You don't believe that the Internal Revenue Service is not an agency of the United States government, so I'm going to prove it to you right now. And I'm not going to go beyond that because I'm going to give you a homework assignment. And then I'm going to play music for the rest of this hour, so you better write these things down. You, too, can get this proof that I'm going to give you tonight. And then I want you to write me a letter and apologize for doubting me. I'll bet you I don't get more than 2 or 3 letters. Want to bet? Because I've been through this before. And I've always asked the same thing. Apologize. But nobody ever does. Write this down. Write this down. Diversified Metal Products Incorporated. I'm going to go very slow so you get it all. Diversified Metal Products Incorporated. Write it down. Diversified Metal Products Incorporated. Plaintiff. They are the plaintiff. Diversified Metal Products Incorporated. Plaintiff. Versus. That's a V period. Diversified Metal Products Incorporated. Plaintiff. V period. T-Bow, that's B-O-W, T-B-O-W, Company Trust. T-B-O-W, Company Trust, comma, Internal Revenue Service, that's Internal Revenue Service, comma, and Steve Morgan, comma, that's Steve Morgan, comma, defendants. So here it is again. Diversified Metal Products, comma, Incorporated, period, comma, plaintiff, comma, versus, that's V, period, T-B-O-W, company trust, comma, Internal Revenue Service, comma, and Steve Morgan, comma, defendants, period. in the United States District Court for the District of Idaho. In the United States District Court for the District of Idaho. In the United States District Court for the District of Idaho. Civil, that's C-I-V, as in Victor, I-L, civil. Number, abbreviated, capital N, zero, period. Civil number. Make sure you're getting all this down. Civil number, 93-405- capital E, dash, capital E, capital J, capital L. In the United States District Court for the District of Idaho, civil number 93-405-E-E-J-L. United States' answer and claim. United States' answer and claim. Now, I hope you got all that down. If you didn't, I'm going to tell you right now, you can order this whole document from us for $10 post-paid. We're not making any money on this, folks. Okay, are you listening? This comes directly from the National Archives and Records Administration, 6125 Sand Point Way Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98115. That's the National Archives and Records Administration. National Archives and Records Administration. 6125 Sand, that's S-A-N-D, Point, P-O-I-N-T, Way, N-E, that's capital N, capital E, Northeast. Seattle, Washington, y'all know how to spell that. Seattle, Washington, 98115. Okay? I've had this for a long time. I've got others, too, that I'll be revealing to you over the next few weeks. And I'm hearing about others all the time. I was on the phone with someone today who told me that they had, or he had, Jack, said he had, a case where they make the same admission. Okay? Now, here, the Internal Revenue Service is being sued by Diversified Metal Products, Incorporated. And this is their answer to the suit and a counterclaim that they're making against Diversified Metal Products. This is going to blow you away, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to confirm something that I've been telling you for years that none of you believed. Some of you might have been willing to take my word for it, but I've never wanted you to do that. I absolutely forbid it, in fact. Remember my admonition. Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. Listen to this very, very carefully. Listen very carefully. The United States of America. Now listen to these different terms. Here they're saying the United States of America, through undersigned counsel, hereby responds to the numbered paragraph of plaintiff's complaint as follows. Now bear in mind, the United States of America is responding. In number one, they change it because they're playing word games with you, and these are two different entities. In number one, the United States is without information or knowledge sufficient to form a belief as to the truth of the allegations contained in paragraph one, and on that basis denies the allegations. Now, I'm not going to read you the allegations because you should get the entire record of this case, not just this reply. But I don't have time to read the whole case to you. I'm just going to give you the important parts in this reply. One is they say the United States of America is replying, and then in each point they reply by the United States. Now keep that in mind, because the United States of America and the United States are not the same entity. Number two says exactly the same thing, only about a different paragraph. Number three says exactly the same thing, only about a different paragraph. Number four, listen very carefully. Here, they do not say that the United States of America are the United States denies. Here's what they say. Listen carefully. Four. See, in every paragraph, they start with the United States. Are the United States of America. Now remember, those are two different entities under the law. But they know that nobody knows this but them and the judge, and unless it's challenged, the judge is never going to say a thing because of our legal system. It's adversarial. If you don't object, it's accepted as fact. Number four, listen very carefully. Number four, I'm going to read it verbatim. Four, period, denies that the Internal Revenue Service is an agency of the United States government, but admits that the United States of America would be a proper party to this action, admits that the IRS has served a notice of levy on plaintiff for funds owed to defendant Steve Morgan, period. Now, either you caught that or you're dumber than dirt. They just denied that the Internal Revenue Service is an agency of the United States government, something that I've been telling you all the time. Who is denying it? Well, let me tell you who is denying it. This action was filed by Betty H. Richardson, United States Attorney, United States Attorney's Office, Box 32, Boise, Idaho, 83707, telephone 208-334-1211, and Richard R. Ward, Trial Attorney, Tax Division, United States Department of Justice, P.O. Box 683, Ben Franklin Station, Washington, D.C., 20044, telephone 202-307-5867. This action was filed, ladies and gentlemen. Well, should I tell you about that? This action was filed and service rendered the 18th day of November, 1993. 18 November, 1993. 18 November, 1993. 18 November, 1993. Did you get it? I hope you did, because I'm not going to read it again. Now, what does all this mean? Well, they admitted that the Internal Revenue Service is not an agency of the United States government. But they admit that the United States of America would be a proper party to this action. Well, the action was not brought against the United States of America or the United States. And that's one reason this party lost their case. They brought the case against the wrong jurisdiction. What is the United States of America if it's the United States? What is the United States if it's not the United States of America? Why did they reply with for some of the charges from the plaintiff, from the United States, and from others from the United States of America? Why, when they make a denial that the Internal Revenue Service is an agency of the United States government, they are not admitting which party is denying that? Well, you see, that's all your homework. Remember, I don't tell you all this stuff. I give you references, and I tell you go out and find the answers. There's lots of people out there who will volunteer answers for you, and most of them are wrong. That's why I tell you, listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing, unless you can prove it in your own research. This proves, the Internal Revenue Service is not an agency of the United States government. It also proves that the United States of America, whatever that is the proper party that this person, or this entity, this corporation, should have sued. Not the United States. The United States of America. Two different entities under the law. Okay? They also admit here that there is no lien. There is no lien and there is no levy. They say that the IRS has served a notice of levy on plaintiff for funds owed to defendant Steve Morgan. And they go on all through here. It's always a notice of lien or a notice of levy. They never back it up by citing which court this levy was obtained from. They never cite a court case. They never cite a legal origin of this levy or this lien. They just admit that they've served a notice of levy. Sometimes they call that a notice of lien. In truth, there is no lien, there is no levy. There can be no lien, there cannot be any levy unless it has been obtained through a judgment of a court. If they don't cite the court, if they don't cite the case, if they don't cite their authority, then there is none. And it's what I've been telling you for years. I've been telling you for years the IRS never, ever obtains a lien lawfully, constitutionally, or even legally. They just write up a notice of lien or a notice of levy and file it in the county where they're going to do this, and the stupid sheriff and the stupid police department, who don't know their butts from a hole in the ground, shouldn't be enforcing the law if they don't know what it is. They don't know that a notice of levy is not a levy. They don't know that a notice of lien is not a lien. And they help the IRS destroy the citizens of their county and of their city and of their state by throwing them off of their own property and confiscating it, turning it over to the Internal Revenue Service. Why do you think federal agencies and federal agents always go to the local sheriff, the local police, or the local DPS or highway patrol or whatever, and have them accompany them to commit their crimes? Because they know they have no jurisdiction, but if they're accompanied by the local authority, that gives them jurisdiction. How about that? How about that, guys? Gee, isn't it amazing? There are other things here that are damning. Here they say, listen to this. The Internal Revenue Service is not a proper defendant, and the United States should be substituted in its place. Now, why are they saying the United States should be substituted in its place when previously they admitted the United States of America would be the proper party to this action? It's to obfuscate, because they know that you don't know the difference between the two. So they told the truth and then obfuscated the truth so that you wouldn't know it. The truth is, the United States of America should be substituted in its place. But then they make another admission. Plaintiff's complaint should be dismissed for insufficient service of process on the United States. They didn't serve it on the United States. They didn't serve it on the United States of America. They served it on the Internal Revenue Service, which has no jurisdiction, and so is not the proper service. And in the fifth defense, they admit this. Plaintiff's complaint fails to state a jurisdictional basis for suit, and I've been telling you for years that jurisdiction is everything in the law, especially when you're dealing with the federal government. Now listen to this very carefully. Claim of the United States, paragraph 1. This claim is made pursuant to 26 United States Code, section 7401, which if you read, doesn't make anybody liable to file or pay the income tax. And 7403, same thing. At the direction, listen to this very carefully, at the direction of the Attorney General of the United States, with the authorization and at the request of the Chief Counsel of the Internal Revenue Service, and get this, folks, a delegate of the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, period. Now, this is not in here, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States is also the governor of the International Monetary Fund. Just give you a little hint there. Okay? So, I'm not going to read you anything else here. If you want a copy of this, send me $10 and we'll send you a copy. We're not making any money on this at all. Send $10 and we'll send you a copy right out. But understand this. Any copy you get from us, you cannot take into a court and use as evidence. You must go to the National Archives and get a certified copy. And that's the only thing, the original certified copy is the only thing that you can take into a court and use as evidence. You can get a copy from us for $10. You can use that for your own research or whatever you want to use it for to show to other people. But remember, it has no legal standing whatsoever unless you get a certified copy from the National Archives. At this point, I'm going to tell you, thank you, all those of you who have already sent in your donations for the month of March. If you have not, we need them now, and we need them desperately. We are so far behind on everything, it is getting to the point where it's desperation. We need your donations now. If you want to get a copy of this, send $10. We'll send it right out to you. If you need to send a donation, and we need you to send that donation right now, don't procrastinate, don't wait, please do it now. We can only accept gold or silver coin, blank money orders, or cash. Send it to HOTT, H-O-T-T, 101.1 FM. That's 101.1 FM. P.O. Box 940. That's P.O. Box 940. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Once again, that's HOTT, H-O-T-T, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. If you didn't write this information down tonight and you call me tomorrow, I will not give it to you. Because I told you to get pen and paper. If you didn't, shame on you. The only thing left to do is order a copy. Or, with the information that I gave you, you can order a certified copy from the National Archives. And their prices go up and down all the time. Depends on how many copies you want and all that kind of stuff. So call the National Archives, Northwestern Division, and ask them how much it will cost. Tell them what you want. Send them the money along with a description of the exact document you want or the exact case you want. If you want the whole case, it's going to cost you a lot more. That's up to you. I suggest you get the whole case. I have the whole thing, everything from beginning to end. Okay? You can have the same thing from the National Archives. The only thing I'm going to send you for your $10 is a copy of 8 pages that represents the document that I was reading from tonight. Okay? It's the answer to the suit by the United States government and the filing of the government's counterclaim. At this point, I'm going to wish you good night. God bless you all. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. I'm not going to confuse you with anything else. If I give you anything else tonight, you're going to be overloaded with stuff. You're going to be absolutely devastated and you won't know what to do with it all. This is enough for you to deal with right now. For the rest of the hour, you're going to hear music. WBCQ, please leave the music on till our airtime has run out, and then go into the next program on your own. Folks, you're going to get astounding facts like this every night up to and including April the 15th. I'm going to knock your socks off. I'm going to blow your mind. Nobody in this world has done the research that I've done except Bill Vinson. Thank God for that old man. But nobody else in this nation has or probably ever will.
I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well is doing. Just a beer belly, beer belly. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention. Oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Now that my role model is gone. He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal.
You've been listening to The Hour of the Time with yours truly, William Cooper, according to William Jefferson Clinton, the most dangerous radio host in America.
And now you know why. Spread the word, folks.
Make sure everybody you know is listening to this broadcast every single night that we're on the air. Either on shortwave, on the internet, or on one of the hundreds of low-power FM stations across the nation and around the world. Spread the word. Help your neighbors wake up. Don't be a sheeple anymore.
Thank you.
folks, please say a prayer for all the courageous men and women of the militia who are up here every night on the perimeter to defend me. And for those people, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Remember, folks, it's not about race, not about religion. It's not about democracy. It's about freedom. Without freedom, you can't be. You can't be a certain race if another race runs the government over you. You can't worship your religion if some other religion controls your government. You can't have your own cultural diversity if somebody in the government is trying to shove somebody else's culture down your throat. You can't live, you can't travel from where you live to someplace else without papers and documents and somebody's permission. Get out of all of these scams and all of these lies and desert all of these leaders who are deceiving you and leading you down the wrong path. It's about freedom. That's what this country was about from its beginning. That's what it will always be, unless you want to take us backward into the old feudalism and slavery that used to hold the human race in shackles for its entire history. For until the founders created this nation, no man was ever free upon the face of this earth, not even kings. Don't believe me? Get your nose in the history books. Find out.
Joseph's face was as black as night, and the pale yellow moon shone in his eyes. His path was marked by the stars and the suddenness.
Remember, folks,
and he walked the length
of his. If you're not willing to die for freedom, you cannot have it ever. It cannot be yours. I'm free. I'm a free man. Won't you join me? Won't you serve as an example to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren? Won't you stand for something other than mediocrity and cowardice? You got 2 feet? Stand on them. Find your courage. Be somebody. I am somebody. You bet your butt I am. And I'm free. And the only way that they're going to take that away from me is to kill me. And guess what? They don't even understand how that works. You see, if they kill me, they will free me from this material world. I'll get to meet God face to face. And I'll have the ultimate freedom. And they will lose the battle. They'll lose the battle on the day they kill me. And if that's what has to happen, here I am. But it's going to hurt you to do it. I love this country. The real country. That nation enshrined in the Constitution of the United States of America. What is occupying Washington, D.C., is a foreign power. They are committing treason. It is a despotism practicing tyranny. And if you're not willing to resist it, maybe in as few as 10 years, you and your children, their children and their children and their children, your posterity will be slaves for eternity. Don't take my word for it. Do a little research. You'll find out that I'm absolutely correct. Not only that, but I foresee a day when there may not be any more children born of woman. They'll be manufactured in a laboratory. Read the news. Wake up. Get off your ass. Be somebody. Make the founders proud of us. Right now, they're rolling over in their grave. And if you're a police officer, an agent of the federal government, I don't care what department, any official whatsoever that has been participating in the destruction of your fellow citizens, their enslavement, confiscating their property, throwing them into prison for things that aren't even lawful. Stop it. Get your head out of your ass. Stop it. Don't be the Gestapo. Don't use the excuse that was tendered at Nuremberg by Hitler's SS. I was only doing my job. Stop it now. Make your communities proud of you once again. You want to know why people don't like you? Take a look at what you're doing. They not only don't like you, they're terrified of you. Stop it now. You're supposed to be peace officers, not enforcement officers.
Charlie the Archangel sloped into the room. He said, I have no opinion about this.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager. We now return you to All Oldies Most of the Time.
He said, well, I don't claim to be happy about this, boys, and I don't seem to.